welcome back to Bench Boost Boys with me, Gav, and I'm here with Scott as always. Hi, Scott.
G'day, Gav. How you going?
I'm okay, mate. I'm okay. We survived game week 6, and we're going to talk about that and all the other goings on during this footballing week. Before we start, just a quick reminder, we're on social media. Bench Boost Boys is our tag on every single social media site that we actually use. I don't believe you've set up a TikTok.
No, I don't have a TikTok.
Not even a Snapchat.
Not a dance. I do have a Snapchat, but you do not want those pictures at all.
Okay, noted. We're everywhere else, though, Bench Boost Boys. And the website is benchboostboys.club. So check us out there. And don't forget you can join the Bench Boost Boys private league, the FPL private league. You can find the links in the show notes or attached to the player on their website. Or if you want to just type it in yourself, grab a pen. It's P2IFBX. And come and show us how much better at FPL you are than us.
And this is the second published episode we're doing. Obviously, we do want to do a quick shout out. We have a couple of listeners in Malaysia and India. So, hello.
Yeah, hi there. Thanks.
Thanks for tuning in. Pleasant surprise to see that kind of data coming through.
And on that bombshell, why don't we go through game week 6?
Yeah.
Do you want to kick off?
Yep, Aston Villa Leeds. A really good showing for your team.
We're all Leeds, aren't we?
No, I'm not.
We're all Leeds. Yes, 3-0 shattered Aston Villa's great start to the season. Bamford hat-trick.
Yeah, it was, and they were, you know, all quality goals. I would say the first one, if you're looking at it, good.
Good poacher's goal.
Good poacher's goal, yep. I think the commentator talked about Ming's attempted clearance and saying, well, I hope there's no, you know, I hope there's no lead striker there, and all of a sudden there he was, Bamford, bang, but you can't ignore that the other two goals were just quality.
Do you know what, when I watched those other two goals, they were Zlatan-esque for me.
Yeah. The way he opened up his body, I think it was for the third and final goal.
Beautiful.
And he just popped that ball. He just placed it lightly in the top left-hand corner. The goalkeeper had absolutely no chance. But from an FPL perspective, obviously from my perspective, I had no Leeds players, so a little bit disappointed. I had banked heavily on the Aston Villa players, and I was not rewarded for that. But I understand you had a couple of players from Leeds.
Well, yeah, it's a strange old story, especially coming from a Leeds fan. But I had Melier, the keeper, and Helder Costa on my bench, who both scored pretty well. And then I also had Stuart Dallas. He didn't score particularly well because he wasn't really involved in the goals. But Grealish, and I had McGinn and Konsa for Villa. And I banked quite heavily against my own team.
I had a lot of players in that one game for you, and you know, took a few points.
No, Bamford took the bonus points with Koch and Alioski behind him. Alioski actually played at left back. They had to have a bit of a jiggle round in the Leeds team, and Luke Ayling played at centre back, and apart from nearly giving a goal away and then clearing off the line, he actually played really well there. But yes, and a yellow card for Grealish and Mings. Melier 3 saves, Martinez 6. So in fairness, from a footballing perspective, Villa probably be coming away from that wondering what they did wrong.
And as far as I was concerned, that was a really annoying start to the game week for me, to just come out of that. And I think I limped into the game week with 3 points. Mm. 1 point for Grealish, a couple of points for Ollie Watkins, or maybe the other way around. It just didn't feel right for me going into the game, but I thought it's all uphill from here, and I was wrong. It didn't get any better for me over the course of the next few games. But we'll talk about West Ham United and Man City next.
Yeah, so a bit of a tale of the game week for me here. Antonio with 75% chance of playing. He did play, and he did score.
And he scored an absolute cracker of an overhead kick. If you're not a football fan, A, get off the podcast, and actually stay. B, it's just good to watch. Even if you don't appreciate football, the beauty in that kind of goal is just incredible. You know, to see a ball coming in like that, and he just times it to perfection. Everyone likes seeing an overhead goal. I don't care if you have a million Man City defenders on your FPL team, to see a goal like that, it's worth losing those points
for the love of the game. And then Foden was an important contributor for City, of course.
Yeah, he came on late, but you know, he's not guaranteed starts for Man City, which is,
that's why I didn't go for him. I nearly pulled him into my team before the game started, and I was umming and ahhing, and I still, that's my bias there, I still feel weird about players who I don't know are definitely starting, but then it's then strange for me to then watch them come off the bench and do stuff.
Yeah, he's a player that's been sitting on my watch list for a while, but at the moment I can't see me moving any of my midfielders out, so he'll stay on the watch list for now. But we'll move on to Fulham Crystal Palace,
yeah, 2-1 to Crystal Palace. Poor old Fulham, still down in the mire. One thing to note before we actually get to the Crystal Palace performers, it wasn't anybody who actually picked up particularly good points for Fulham, but we talked last week about Lookman for Fulham, and he got 6 shots on target, which was the most of any midfielder in that game week. And I caught the highlights of that game, and that guy is just desperate to lash a ball, and he plays like a number 9 from midfield.
Yeah, I mean, we will obviously talk a little bit more about Lookman, you know, when we're talking about people to keep an eye on. But in this game, there was one standout performer for Crystal Palace, and that was Will Zaha with an assist and a goal. So those people that kept the faith in Zaha, rewarded. I think he got 13 points in the game week, so a really good performance.
Yeah, he got the 3 bonus points.
And as much as, you know, Lookman had some cracking shots, and he rattled the crossbar and the posts, or maybe both posts at one point, Carney's goal just slammed it into the top left-hand corner, and he's their captain, so he's going to be playing week in, week out.
2 bonus points for him.
Yeah, so he was a pretty influential player for Fulham in that game, and, you know, if you did have him, and there weren't many people that did have Carney, admittedly, rewarded with some really good points there. But the next game, Man United, Chelsea. I'm going to go back in time to last week's podcast where I said, I said, this game is going to have goals. And you said, or it could go the other way and there could be no goals. One of us was right.
Well, it's such an easy way to say. I'm not going to sit here and pretend I'm Nostradamus. A pretty weak prediction there. But yes, it was me.
I think part of the reason I thought there were going to be goals was because both teams had displayed such leaky defences and such great attacks, you know, moving into this game week.
Well, that said then, Mendy, 4 saves.
Well, Mendy's one of the standout players for Chelsea. So Lampard's been looking to shore up his goalkeeping position for a while, and Mendy is the player to do it. But Chelsea spent huge amounts of money to bring in players like Havertz and Ziyech and Timo Werner. And last week, fantasy players were rewarded for those that kept the faith in those players. This week, it's the players that had players from either team playing in their defensive positions, and the big one for me was Kurt Zouma.
Well, yeah, and I was just about to say, actually, all the bonus points for this game were defensive players. Zouma, 3, James, 2, Thiago Silva and Maguire, both a point apiece. And even looking deeper into that, every single person that was in the bonus points list is either a goalkeeper or a defender.
Yeah, the top 10 players of that game, all defenders, and that is going to happen regularly when it's a nil or draw.
Of course.
But, you know, if you're sitting on any of those defenders, if you were keeping the faith in any of the Man United defenders, well done. If you had any of the keepers, well done. But for me, the big standout in that game was Kurt Zouma. And the reason he stands out is because he's had a couple of off games, yeah. He's had games where he hasn't played at all. But he's actually scoring a lot of points. I think he's scored somewhere in the realm of 32 points across 5 or 6 games. Either way, he's averaging 5 or 6 points a game. So Kurt Zouma, and I think he's sitting at around the 5 million mark. So he's actually a pretty good defender to look at in terms of, you know, FPL investment. So he's actually made my watch list this week as well.
He's a bit like Bamford. When the players you may not have picked at the start of the season, but it's hard to ignore them when they are just consistently picking up points. Okay, next game. Liverpool 2, Sheffield United 1.
this is where I thought I was actually going to get some points in the game week, the same points everyone else was going to get with either Robertson or Trent Alexander-Arnold or Salah. I didn't have Trent Alexander-Arnold. I thought Robertson and Salah might combine. I really thought Liverpool would have Sheffield United, but it wasn't convincing at all.
Yeah.
And I, you know, for all intents and purposes, Salah blanked. So I know a lot of people were tossing up last week between putting the armband on Salah or Kane or Son. The people that chose the route of picking the Liverpool players, picking Salah, probably not the best idea. For anyone that had Mane, though.
Yes, Mane.
Mane got a couple of assists in that game. Firmino got a very rare goal. He doesn't score very, very often. And I know people talk about the three Liverpool attacking players, Salah, Mane, Firmino. Firmino is not known for his goals.
No.
But he is the person that they put the ball into, and he holds up the play, and he's always there to provide that support for Salah and Mane, who are running at defenders. He's also playing balls back to Robertson and Trent Alexander-Arnold, so he's actually a really influential player, even though he doesn't always pop up on the score sheet. This time he did. So, and Diogo Jota got himself a really good goal as well. He's actually been a really good acquisition for Liverpool.
Firmino, 3 bonus points. Jota, 2. Berge for Sheffield United, 1. And he got the goal, actually, for Sheffield United. Anyone feeling bold might fancy switching up Salah for Mane. I don't know how many people would be that brave. But Mane's doing pretty well.
Yeah. The other standout player for me from Sheffield, and I know he featured in the list of people who got bonus points but didn't actually get any points for the bonus points, was Baldock. He's a Sheffield United player. A little bit expensive, 5.4, which for a Sheffield defender is actually quite high. But keep an eye on him because he's actually a really exciting player. He's really attacking, really aggressive.
One for the watch list?
One for the watch list.
There we go. One for the watch list. And then next game was Southampton 2, Everton 0. Another upset after Villa losing. Again, bit of a throwaway comment, but I think we knew at some point, not to say that they won't finish high, but Everton and Villa were always going to have a wobble at some point.
Yeah. And the big news moving into the game week was James Rodriguez had picked up a knock in a tackle with Van Dijk, and he wasn't going to play. It was all over everything. You know, the official FPL website sent out tweets.
And a 25% chance of playing for most of the game, or the week leading up to the game week. I think a day before the game, they switched it to 75. But you're right, even up until more or less, you know, our time at least, the morning of the game, it was still checking on fitness. He might play. He played. And I we'll talk about this later, but I transferred him out.
Well, not a bad idea, considering he actually blanked. I popped him on my bench. I didn't lose any points by popping him on my bench. There is not a single player he would have outscored in my midfield, apart from Grealish. In saying that, the other player for Everton who disappointed me in this game was Dominic Calvert-Lewin. It's almost like everyone expected him to score.
Well, it's one of those, you had one job. I mean, that's his job, score goals, and he did not. And then, of course, there was a red card for Dean as well, who Dean's been a big FPL pick this season.
Yeah.
So to get a red card is obviously pretty catastrophic for anyone who had him.
Yeah, I think he ended up scoring -2 points because of that. Prior to that, Dean was scoring, you know, a lot of points. He gets up a lot. You know, I think he was chasing a player when he got the red card and he ended up standing on his foot. It was a bit of an awkward one. But
yeah, that's an unusual one, but it happened.
And he's not back for quite a while. I think it's the 21st of November or something along those lines. So a little bit unlucky for Dean. You know, didn't look too malicious in that challenge. I will talk a little bit about Danny Ings. Didn't get any goals, but he did get 2 assists. So still had a fantastic performance. And we did talk a little bit last week about Shea Adams as a differential choice within that Southampton team. And he actually did get a goal.
Bonus points were 3 for Ward-Prowse, 2 for Ings, 2 for Adams. I mean, you know, Ings is someone that people have lent on quite heavily to get goals. I mean, again, he's a striker, so it's his job. But to not score but get assists, he's taken a leaf out of Kane's book, I think.
Yeah, and the other thing to note too is a lot of people do back the Southampton defenders. A lot of people have Southampton defenders or the goalkeeper McCarthy. I actually have McCarthy and Fraser Forster on my bench, so I got some points there with McCarthy, which is good because, you know, Southampton have actually had a few clean sheets now this season. One of the only teams who actually have, you know, clean sheets. There haven't been too many this season. But I did leave a couple of points on the bench with Walker Peters.
Same.
Yeah.
Everton, kind of underwhelming, really. And that kind of shows when you look at the bonus points system and see how many bonus points people scored. It's pretty underwhelming. I'm sure Everton will probably want to forget about that fixture quick as possible.
Yeah. Now, last week I doubled down. I decided I was going to make my one transfer. I did end up pulling the trigger and I got Kilman in. And I doubled down on my Wolves defenders this weekend. And it would have paid off, but for a late strike.
If it wasn't for those pesky kids.
Mm. And the worst part was... but actually, the best part about this was Sice was actually bought off before the goal was conceded, so I did get clean points for Sice.
Oh, cheeky.
In saying that, Kilman, I only got 2 points. So again, you know, even with the by the end of these games, by the end of these fixtures, I still wasn't doing very well on points.
So this is something that's interesting me more and more, actually, is the bonus point system. So Jimenez got the goal for Wolves. Jimenez got 3 bonus points. And if anyone who doesn't know how bonus points works, literally just Google FPL bonus points and the first result is an official page explaining how it works. But it's basically a culmination of optostats, so everything to do with what position you're in and what you performed at, good passes and shots and goals and all the obvious things as well. Jimenez came top of that by almost a country mile.
Yeah, and he obviously scored the goal for Wolves. He's usually the goal scorer for Wolves. Wolves, we've talked about this last week, they don't score all that many goals.
But if they do?
If they do, Jimenez is usually involved in it.
Yeah.
You know, Murphy got the goal for Newcastle as well.
Callum Wilson on the assist.
Yeah. It wasn't really a particularly exciting game of football to watch. We've talked about the fact that Wolves absorb a lot of attacking threat, and while they're doing that, they're passing the ball around. They're making the other team tired, and they usually score in the second half of the match. So it wasn't a particularly exciting game to
watch. Wolves, the football's not particularly sexy. It's quite a kind of dull, robust system, but I guess a lot of the time it works for them, so good for them.
Yeah, and I woke up early for the Arsenal-Leicester match, and I got to be honest with you, as an Arsenal fan, I'm really not enjoying the football they're playing. It seems really uninspired. I think even the commentators at the time were saying it's like they've run out of ideas.
Yeah.
They didn't seem to be troubling Leicester at all. Again, I left Castagne on my bench. I thought, Arsenal?
Yeah, of course.
They won the Premier League a little while ago. They've won the FA Cup. They can do damage to teams.
Hang on, rewind. Arsenal won the Premier League?
I said a while ago.
Yeah, well... That's, yeah.
There was a caveat placed on that.
A while ago. Okay, we'll leave that there.
I'm just saying, they've competed, all right? They're as good as your Man Cities and your Blackburn Rovers.
Hang on. Arsenal probably last won the league around the time that Leeds were in the Premier League for, like, the last time round, which is 16 years ago. Anyway, let's move on. So, Leicester won that game 1-0, and, of course, who got the goal?
Jamie Vardy, and he wasn't even playing for half the match, but he was... voted at the end of the game, was voted the Budweiser King of the Match, most influential player. He only played about 20 minutes, and he ended up getting 2 bonus points. So if you're playing 90-minute football game, 1/3 of the game, and you're deemed to be one of the most influential players in that game, what does that say about the game?
Again, this is just like Arsenal had a performance here, a bit like Everton did. You look at the bonus point system, and the points are so low for the Arsenal players. And Vardy's, as you say, come on as a sub, and come out as the second highest bonus point scorer out of every player on the pitch.
Yeah.
So he's come on and just turned it on.
And Kasper Schmeichel obviously was the top point scorer.
He got 3 bonus points, yeah.
Clean sheet, 3 bonus points. He made quite a few saves, four saves as well. So... You know, if you had him as a goalkeeper, well done, great choice.
Yeah, and then we've got Brighton against West Brom.
You know, this game wasn't really an exciting fixture to watch either.
We didn't think it was going to be.
Even less exciting. I think we actually both had commented last week, yawn, get fucked. This was not a fixture we were looking forward to.
Hey, do you know the common denominator here as well?
West Brom.
It's West Brom.
West Brom.
It's West Brom. Unless they're playing, like, I don't know, one of the big six or something, it's going to be that every week. So apologies any West Brom fans out there, or both of you.
Yeah. Well, the big thing about this game, the only big thing about this game was, I mean, from an FPL perspective, is the people that actually saw Tarik Lamptey playing at the start of the season and thought, this kid is really exciting, I'm going to pop him in my team or pop him on my watch list. If you didn't watch the game, he doesn't appear anywhere as an influential player within the game. He didn't even score that well in the bonus points perspective, but he actually was the reason that West Brom put the ball in the back of their own net.
I know, it seems almost cruel, doesn't it? But yeah, he was a part of that goal.
And again, as a right back, he's deep inside their 18-yard box, so he's actually pushing really hard up there. He's a very attacking, you know, wing back, so he's actually a really influential player for Brighton.
One to watch, but it's a strange situation because, as you say, he didn't get anywhere in the bonus points, which kind of goes to prove that he didn't do much, but he was involved in that goal, which turned into an own goal for Livermore. Callum Robson also got a goal. Got the assist. Grant got the goal, that's right.
Yeah, that was actually a really solid strike by Grant.
Yeah.
And the final game of the game week was Burnley versus Spurs. It was literally the only game that I actually went to bed with anticipation of, because it was the one game where I actually had a chance of scoring some points.
Yeah, last two game weeks in a row now for me, I've relied pretty heavily on the final game of the game week to rescue my game week, and that's exactly what happened.
Yeah, and we've talked a lot about this in the past, and I know everyone else has. It's been covered by a myriad of different people, but the Kane and Son partnership is just been incredibly influential, and Mourinho said after the game, it's got nothing to do with telepathy or anything like that. It's the fact that they're friends off the pitch. And for me, if they're friends off the pitch, I want those friends on my FBL team because they are consistently delivering returns.
Sometimes, I've looked at your team and gone, oh, he's got Son and Kane. And we'll talk a little later about how our teams did perform, but I only have Son. But before, when people have always relied heavily on Salah, or who to captain, or if in doubt, captain Salah, for me now, more and more I'm thinking, if in doubt, captain Son.
Yeah, and we know at the start of the whole season, you had this thing where you were transferring him in, transferring him out, transferring him in, transferring him out. I feel like at the moment I'm doing the same thing, but with the captain's armband. Pop it on Son, or Kane performs. Pop it on Kane. Son goes and scores this headed goal to win the game. Admittedly, off a Kane assist. So Kane, you know, he still got me 10 points with that captain's armband. But, you know, prior to that, if I had left it on Son, who also got 3 bonus points, scored 11, that would have been 22, and that would have taken me above the average. So I'm a little bit disappointed.
Well, here's a funny thing, actually. Burnley, like the first half of that game, and for a lot of it, they were just trying to park the bus, really. And I don't blame them. Like, Spurs' attack is insane. But Hugo Lloris, he got 2 bonus points there and made 3 saves. So, you know, as much as Burnley haven't converted there, and they haven't even, their own players haven't got many bonus points, Lloris obviously had a bit of work to do. Yeah.
And to all credit for Burnley, because, you know, Burnley are coming up against Chelsea again at home. And I actually thought Spurs were going to have an easy job of it. They certainly didn't.
No.
And I don't think Chelsea will either.
No, Burnley made life difficult, and you're right. And I think that's fair enough, to be honest. If you're someone like Burnley, not everybody's Marcelo Bielsa at Leeds, just trying to play the same system and score 50 goals every game. I don't blame some of the lesser teams for actually trying to shut up shop a bit and see if they can snatch the win on the counter.
Yeah, and they nearly actually succeeded because the goal was scored pretty late. So
yes,
a really good result for Burnley, all things considered, but also a great result for, again, FPL managers that had actually put their faith in Son and Kane. So we're going to take a quick break. After that, we're going to come back and talk about our own performances within the game week and a couple of bits of player news information and some players to watch.
Awesome. Okay, welcome back to Bench Boost Boys. We're now going to discuss our game week performance. Scott, would you like to start?
No, I wouldn't actually, because my performance was pretty average.
I believe, factually speaking, it was just below average.
Actually, yeah, as it usually is, but not with FPL. Anyway, the game week average was 48 this week, and I scored 47. So, yeah, pretty underwhelming performance. And as I mentioned in the previous segment, you know, there were a lot of games where I was going into it with high hopes. I had a lot of good players on my team. I had, you know, Rodriguez on my bench. I had TCL. You know, I had Salah. I had, you know, Grealish. I have some really high quality players, but a lot of big names, and they just didn't seem to come to the party. So for me, the big point scorers this weekend, you know, I had McCarthy is my goalkeeper. I had Sice again, who was taken off before Wolves conceded, so he scored me 7 points. But truthfully, everyone else kind of blanked until I got to the last fixture of the round, and Kane assisted Son. So I had both those players, Kane with the armband, so I scored 21 points with those players. Would have scored 22 if I had a captained Son instead, plus the 5 for Kane. Didn't do that, and I also left points on the bench, as I mentioned earlier, with Castagne and Walker Peters. So, yeah, the gamble with Kilman and Sice playing them both did not pay off, but, you know, we live and we learn.
Was it disastrous, though, or just didn't give you the points? Like, was it a big loss?
I would have kept Sice on the field irrespective of Kilman's performance, but, you know, I kind of shot myself in the foot with don't have two players playing in the same position on your team. Like, I don't believe in that sort of mentality for FPL. I know a lot of other people don't agree with that sentiment, but I don't want to have two defenders from Wolves. Even though I own two defenders from Wolves, and I know that seems counterintuitive, I really like the look of Kilman as a 4 million asset.
Like a budget option.
Yeah, you know, and I thought Mitchell was probably going to get pushed out of the team at some point by Van Aanholt, so I wanted to, you know, move away from that option and done for Burnley, I think, at the time was my other 4 million option at the back. And, you know, I banked on Kilman. I popped him on my team. I think he's still going to be a pretty good performer for Wolves, but it just didn't work out this week.
Okay.
How'd you go?
I got 50 points, which is 2 above the average. But that was, as we said earlier in the podcast, rescued by that Spurs game. Knowing what your team was, I was glad that it was a Son goal from a Kane assist, because I don't have Harry Kane, I have Son, and I captain Son. I did bank quite heavily on Grealish and McGinn from Villa, who both played well, but, you know, FPL, isn't it? They need to actually score some points.
So. Well, it's the Premier League in general, because there's no easy fixtures for any Premier League team. And that, I mean, I'm not saying Villa are one of those top 4, top 6 teams that everyone talks about, and I'm not saying that they're expected to perform well week in, week out, but the form they've been Grealish has been in, and McGinn as well, to be fair, like, you're expecting them to take something out of that fixture, especially considering they were playing at home against a Leeds side that's newly promoted. But we've talked about this, and I know you're a fan of them. Leeds play really attacking football. They're not here to sit back and not be relegated. They're here to finish mid top 10.
So I had 3 Villa players. Now, the funny thing is, actually, Grealish and McGinn, I'm quite happy to keep them on my team. I think they will still perform. Konsa at the back, who knows, you know, there's worse picks, but you know, maybe Villa now might kind of settle a little bit.
I'm actually still a bit of a fan of Konsa, so if I was in your shoes, I'd probably stick with him, to be honest. I think he's actually a really good asset, and, you know, he's actually one that sat on my watch list for a little while.
Sure.
And I just couldn't afford to get him in.
Stuart Dallas, he got 6 points for me. Kind of comes when you got a clean sheet and you're in a game where your team wins 3-0. Robertson for Liverpool, obviously an underperformer. I got 2 points for him. Leno in goal for Arsenal. I'm questioning everything now. Arsenal just looks so mediocre.
Yeah, well, I mean, Arsenal looks toothless in attack. That's not to say that they're going to concede a lot of goals, but at the same time, I'm avoiding my own team like the plague. Yeah.
Salah, 2 points, but at least I didn't captain in Son. I captained, so I got 22.
At least you didn't triple captain.
Yeah, I think we know someone who triple captained Salah. First of all, kudos for having the balls to do that.
Quick shout out to Flips McQueen. He's actually sent us in a question
For the mailbag later.
Yeah, for next week. He's actually sent us a question next week. I will say this, though. I did hear a rumor that you egged him on.
It was his idea. And I was excited. It's, you know, like watching someone else gamble, and you're like, yeah, put it all on black. That was me.
And to be fair, when Liverpool's playing at home against Sheffield,
it wasn't risky.
No. Like,
if you're going to triple captain someone, you know, and you've got Salah playing at home against a lesser team, a team who are basically in the relegation zone, it's not that risky. But
it's not a bad move. It just didn't work out for him. And kudos, like you said, for taking the chance.
Do you know what, as well? Like, I have almost a premonition that I'm so sure that when I come to do my triple captain this season, I'm going to do the same, and I'll get triple captain on 2-pointer and I'll end up with 6 points or whatever. I can just see it happening. But anyway, we'll see. Rest of my team then. Jimenez got the goal for Wolves. Maupay was my kind of budget striker, 2 points, nothing happened. Calvert-Lewin, well, he got booked, so I got one. But if ever there was a week for me to play bench boost, it would have been this week. I had 20 points on my bench. Meslier for Leeds, 7. Creswell, 2. Helder Costa for Leeds, 6. And Walker-Peters, Southampton, 5. But
that's a bench boost week.
It is, but that's easy to say in hindsight.
Yeah.
So, you know what? Not too mad about it. Obviously, on any other given, we kind of expected points from Salah and Robertson. Maybe even Maupay and Calvert-Lewin. So, you know what? That could have very easily been an amazing week.
Well, I'm seeing a few green arrows on your league's table, so, which I'm a little bit jealous of because I don't have a single green arrow. I've got all greys and reds, so well done there. We'll just move a little bit quickly now on to player news speculation. Players to watch, players to transfer.
Sure.
All that stuff. There wasn't a lot going on. There weren't any huge injuries over the week. Like, we're not going to talk about that Van Dijk saga 2 weeks ago. Do you remember Van Dijk? Used to play for Liverpool.
Yeah, I remember that guy. Mm. Hey, hang on. What about that Argentinian lad who plays for Man City sometimes?
Aguero. Well, on the website, he's actually predicted to come back 21st of November. We've seen a lot of these predictions. These players are out. They're not going to be playing anymore. But Aguero actually is out with a muscle injury. Muscle injury in this season, I think, is going to be something we see regularly because muscle injury implies it's just fatigue.
Sure.
It doesn't specifically say hip. It doesn't specifically say ankle. Anything like that, it's muscle. They're playing a lot of games. Aguero's just come back from injury.
Right. Yeah.
It's a really packed year. So you're going to see a lot of those kind of muscle injuries popping up. I think this is a really good point to remind FPL managers. You've got to keep a really close eye on that watch list, on that list that they provide on the official website, because it does provide the injury speculations. It also is a really good opportunity to point out, I jumped the gun early last week. I pulled Dunn out, popped Kilman in almost the day after the fixtures finished. And then I sat there a couple of days later, all the news about Rodriguez hit, and it really showed me the importance of staying patient and sticking the course.
Yeah. The only reason, I think, for actually making a quick transfer when you hear of any kind, well, if you do hear of news, is just to try and nip in there before the price changes, rises, which happens kind of like midweek. Is it like Tuesday or something?
It's a Tuesday night, I believe, in the UK. So it's that's a fair point. But I think sometimes patience is probably outweighs the 0.1 million you might save.
Every bad decision I've made so far this season has been because purely of impatience.
Yeah. I've made some pretty hasty changes to my team every single week. And this week I've decided I'm going to ban myself from making any transfers up until at least Thursday night, maybe Friday morning. So
I try to do that. I leave it pretty late.
If you are holding, though, someone like Luca Dean, obviously, like we talked about, got that red card. Kamara as well for Fulham got a red card. Not many people have Kamara for Fulham, so not as concerning. But Luca Dean's actually a really popular defender. Yep. He's actually a really high-performing defender. He's out now until, late November.
Yep.
So someone, again, that, you might want to pull out of your team at least for a couple of weeks. If you've got the patience and you've got the players on your bench, pop them on your bench. Otherwise, I would just get him out. Just pull him out.
Yeah, the other one I've got noted down here on players to watch is Lookman. And purely because, Fulham aren't exactly flying high. But from a kind of budget perspective, you've got this attacking midfielder who is just wanting to lash the ball in the back of the net. And as much as he didn't actually get much in the way of points, it feels like it's coming. So, I don't know. Maybe I'm wide of the mark there, but Lookman worth a look.
Yeah. As far as players to transfer are concerned, if I'm looking, in the future, and again, for my watch list, it's really hard for me to overlook Bamford. So, I pulled in Ollie Watkins as part of my wild card at that 5.96 million kind of mark. And I did that probably as a reaction to a hat-trick. So maybe me looking at Bamford right now is also a reaction to a hat-trick.
Easily done.
But Ollie Watkins has scored 3 goals over the course of 6 game weeks. Bamford has scored 6 goals over the course of 6 game weeks. I know Bamford has scored a hat-trick, so it's obviously a little bit skewed because of that. But in saying that, over the course of 6, that's an average of 1 goal a game.
At that price point as well, it's hard not to look at it like that. I'm the same. You went for Watkins, I went for Maupay. And now, hindsight is a wonderful thing, but it's hard to go, oh, I could have got Bamford,
Yeah. Well, at the same time, I'm actually looking at it at the point of view of someone that actually has a really delicious Excel spreadsheet that takes into account averages and form, economy and return on investment. And for me, Ollie Watkins has just fallen a little bit down that ladder and Bamford has crept up. So if I'm looking at my watch list, I need to look at the way that Bamford would fit into that spreadsheet. And you know what? He would change a couple of colours on my spreadsheet and they'd go a brighter green.
Do you know what? There's some probably going to be some people listening to this rolling their eyes at the spreadsheet, but there's probably also people listening to this getting excited. We should start up a Patreon and then people can pay and get a copy of your spreadsheet.
Nerds.
Food for thought.
The other player that obviously stood out this game week that we haven't talked about a lot, we covered it obviously in when we covered the Crystal Palace Fulham game, was Will Zaha, still on my watch list, still reasonably priced at around the same cost as Jack Grealish for Aston Villa. But obviously Crystal, and I know that Grealish is Aston Villa's best player in the same way that Zaha is Crystal Palace's best player, but I just... He's just such a good player.
In fairness, I know Andros Townsend is doing pretty decent, but the difference for me between Palace is that it feels very much like Zaha is the threat, whereas you look at Villa and you've got, you know, 3-4 guys in there who will contribute. And Grealish is the standout player, of course, but I can't really say, apart from Townsend, I can't really say the same for Palace, to be honest. So... Zaha, I still feel really strange about. I just get so spooked when you get these preseason stories about players falling out with manager or a player wants to leave a club. But then, ultimately, he's on the pitch doing what he does and scoring points. It's hard to ignore, isn't it?
Yeah, it is really hard to ignore. It's also kind of easy to ignore those stories. So I'll move on to my next player, Mesut Ozil. Get him in.
Oh Christ! What about Gunnosaurus?
The other two players that I added to my watch list this week, Kurt Zouma, again, consistent returns over the course of the last six game weeks. I know he's only played five of those games, 32 points across that, so that's about 6.1.
It's really good.
Yeah, it's really good returns. And also, completely centre back.
Well, that's what I was going to say. It really bucks that trend of fill your defensive fullbacks, and you're like, yeah, sure, but Kurt Zouma.
Yeah. And we talked about Fernandes last week. I'm not going to harp on about him. We all know that he's capable of at his price point. I don't really want to talk about premium midfielders right now because there's no premium midfielder like Salah or even Son who's creeping up to that premium status that I want to get rid of. So I'm not even going to talk about Fernandes, but I will talk about Rashford because he's actually the same price as Son. And if I was looking at getting Salah out at any point, Rashford would actually bank me about $3 million. But Rashford's playing really good football at the moment.
Do you know what? Rashford, I mean, Man United are having a funny season, but Rashford is kind of Man United's Zaha for this season. I know he didn't start early on, but or score a lot of points in the first couple of games, but suddenly he's just, da-da, Rashford's
arrived. And it really hurts me to say this because I'm an Arsenal fan. Yeah. Admittedly, they're making it really difficult for me right now to be an Arsenal fan. But United are playing Arsenal... I would bank on Rashford destroying my team right now because they're just really not impressing me at all. And Rashford really is impressing me. He's a really, really influential player. I think he played really well in Europe over the week. Vague memories of that. It's been a really long week for me. I'm extremely tired. But Rashford is just looking really dangerous, so he's sitting on my watch list.
Well, there you go. Those are some pretty strong players to look out for and a couple there to potentially ditch. That's about that for that, I reckon.
Yeah, we'll take another break.
Cool, back in a bit. Okay, welcome back to Bench Boost Boys with me, Gav, and Scott.
G'day. Hi.
Hi. Still here.
Yeah. How are you?
I'm all right. Should we get this final act done?
Let's get it out of the way.
Okay, so game week 7 forecast. Let's look at the fixtures. First game of the week, Wolves versus Crystal Palace.
We've discussed Zaha's potential, his potential to cause damage, but I'm also a massive fan of the Wolves' defence absorbing that kind of attack, and I can see Zaha, I think we saw it in game week 5, his frustration.
Yes.
He's capable of that level of frustration. So for me, you know, I'm excited about this fixture. I think it's a fixture that could provide some goals, but it's a fixture that I'm hoping where there are no goals. I'm really hoping that Wolves can keep a clean sheet.
Well, you know, Jimenez has been pretty consistent, so I'm imagining the good money's going to be on Jimenez to grab a goal.
Yeah. If we were doing score predictions, which we're not,
no,
I would say 1-0. But I won't say that.
No, but if I was,
yeah,
I would probably say 1-0 Wolves, Jimenez goal.
I'm not saying it's a good bet. I'm not saying it's a sure thing, but do it.
This is not financial advice. All right. I mean, that's enough there. Sheffield United, Man City. Oh, gosh. Bottom of the league. Tough lads versus misfiring Manchester City.
Is De Bruyne going to be back for this game?
Don't know.
I don't know either.
Don't know.
I think he was on the bench for Man City in the last game. I'm not even sure if he featured, to be honest. I mean, I didn't actually watch the game. I watched the highlights of that match, and I don't remember him featuring whatsoever. So I guess that there's a big question mark still over De Bruyne. But I would say, unless he's playing consistently 90 minutes of football, you don't want to leave 11.5 million in a premium asset in the midfield. So maybe if you've got him, pop him on your bench, pop him on the field. I don't know. But at the same time, who's he going to put balls into? We've talked about the fact that Man City don't have strikers at the moment. They've got Sterling.
Yeah, you know, I like Sterling, but he's not, you know, he's not number 9. But yeah, I don't know. It is a good point. De Bruyne, I think he should be playing. I don't know if it's just a question of match fitness. Obviously, some clubs are playing in Europe, so they've got to rotate it a bit. I'm still a big fan of Sterling, but at 11.6 million, it's a lot of points. But he's their highest point scoring midfielder. With 29
he's actually
points.
He's actually Sterling is actually, you know, I say that he's actually playing really well. Sterling is playing really well, but he's not a ball. You don't put balls into Sterling. You put balls across to or back to Sterling
or down the wing for him to chase. I mean, strictly speaking, according to FPL, the only fit forward for City is Delap, who's a youngster who's got 1 point and costs 4.5 mil. So obviously he's not.
The one for me, I think, in this fixture is Phil Foden. Like we saw last week, you know, he's capable of doing damage to defences. Even if he comes off the bench, just like Jamie Vardy did for Leicester City, just like Foden did for Man City, Foden could do it again. Well, he could even get a full game this game.
Foden, second highest midfielder, point scorer for Man City, 25 points. At 6.6 mil, that's a pretty good return.
Oh, that's a fantastic return. You know, he's highly rated young player playing for an extremely highly rated team. And at 6.6, you can't argue with that kind of bargain. I don't have 6.6 to play around with in my midfield. Unless I get frustrated with Grealish moving forward or something along those lines, I'm not going to bank on Foden, but he sits there in my watch list in case there's an injury to my James Rodriguez or to my Grealish. Jorginho is my fifth midfielder.
Yep.
He's not quite that same price point as Foden, so if the points, if I ever find that money somewhere else in my defence, potentially I'll prop Foden up, Jorginho up with Foden. But in saying that, Jorginho has been pretty consistent. But
that's a nice segue. Because the next game,
Burnley-Chelsea. And I actually think that Chelsea might find it in the same way that, you know, Spurs found it quite hard to break down Burnley's defence. Chelsea might find it hard to break down Burnley's defence.
Maybe. Yeah, and Jorginho, highest midfield point scorer, at 5.3 million as well, 35 points. Obviously, yeah. We've talked in the past about the fact that he's a penalty taker.
He does take penalties.
But that's no bad thing. This is FPL. And
he also put that assist through last week for Werner.
Yeah,
it had snow on it by the time it came down. It was a pretty high ball, pretty high looping ball. So it was a very speculative sort of assist. But
I like those.
Yeah, he's capable and he's actually playing regular first-team football for Chelsea. And you can't say that about a lot of Chelsea's midfielders at the moment.
No, you know me. A little bit nervous about banking on players that I don't know if they're starting or not, but Jorginho now is almost a definite starter for Chelsea.
Yeah, and as we talked about earlier, Kurt Zouma, one to watch, but also if you're going up against Burnley, even away to Burnley, you know, there's a solid chance he's going to pick up some points, even if it's just a clean sheet. Even if it's just clean sheet points, he might not score a goal. I don't care. If you're getting a clean sheet, I'd say Burnley's the team to look at for getting a clean sheet against. And I say that as a Kiwi, knowing Chris Wood is actually a fairly good striker.
Yeah.
I just don't know that the quality of ball coming in is that good. In saying that too, the other one we talked about in the past, Chilwell.
Yeah, interesting looking at the game so far, and we're not that deep into the season, but Zouma is the highest point scorer for Chelsea, 32 points, 5.1 mil. Chilwell behind him, 27 points, 5.8. So, you know, I am still very much a big fan in FPL of the attacking fullbacks.
Yeah, but if you haven't got that extra 0.7 of a mil...
Yeah, exactly.
And you can't afford Chilwell, Zouma's a great option.
How many times have you gone to make a transfer and you've been 0.1 of a mil out?
Almost every transfer.
Yeah, it's pretty competitive, so it would be pretty easy for us to say, hey, spend another 700k.
And let's not forget, if you're looking at a player to buy and you have that player, the prices are actually different. So, you know, when you're selling, you do lose a little bit. So Salah, who sits there at 12.4 mil, you try and sell him right now, you're not going to get 12.4, you're going to get 12.2.
I found that out, as you pointed out to me, when I transferred out Rodriguez. I realised immediately I was now 100k short of being able to bring him straight back in.
Yeah.
But that's okay.
You run that risk if you want to remove a player because of a short-term injury. A player like Luka Dean, you're looking at 3 games out for that red card.
Yeah.
So even though you might lose a little bit of money, it's still worth making the transfer.
Oh, to be honest, with a Luka Dean situation, you might also even want to take a 4-point hit. But anyway, we digress. Next game, Liverpool versus West Ham.
Yeah,
I'm looking forward to this one.
This is actually a really exciting fixture because Liverpool haven't been the Liverpool of last season, obviously. But West Ham have 2 wins, 2 draws, 2 losses. So it's actually a really interesting kind of matchup because Liverpool are capable of being really good on their day, really average on their day, like we saw with that Aston Villa result. And West Ham, you just don't know. They could come back and score 3 goals in the last 10 minutes like they did against Spurs last week. And they actually had a draw again this week, 1-1, and Antonio again. That overhead kick, crazy. West Ham are capable of doing damage to Liverpool. So, I mean, it should be an easy fixture for Liverpool, but I just can't guarantee it's going to be.
Well, West Ham's big point scorers, Creswell in defence, as we've mentioned, 5 mil. For an attacking fullback who's got 31 points, I think that's pretty good value, to be honest.
But the biggest for me is Antonio.
Yeah, Antonio, 27 points, 6.3 mil. At the moment, he's looking at a hamstring injury, 75% chance of playing. I would say if there's anything we've learnt, is don't act on that now. Wait until literally right up before the deadline. Don't get too close.
As I mentioned earlier, don't jump into your transfers. Don't be too hasty to make them. Antonio's only owned by about 3.9%, nearly 4% of Fantasy Premier League owners. So he is a massive differential.
He's a funny one for me, actually, because even before the season started, I was talking about Antonio, but clearly not enough to actually put him in my team yet, but I am a fan. And then in midfield, actually, for West Ham, Bowen, 6.3 mil, 31 points.
Anyway, he scored a lot of those points early on. I think he had a really, really good game week a lot earlier on in the season. But, you know...
Yeah, it was that 4-0 against Wolves. He got 15 points in that game. You're right. It was right in the middle there, and then 8 points against Leicester. But, you know, so far, that's not a bad return. But yes, let's see if Salah can turn it on. And of course, it's really unavoidable as well to kind of think in terms of Liverpool at home, captain Salah. It's going to come up every single week, captain Salah.
Yeah. If when in doubt, guys, if you don't have Sonny, if you don't have Kane, captain Salah.
Salah has 50 points this season.
Yeah.
And that's just pure points.
If you left the armband on Salah all of last season, you would have just made 440 odd points off Salah alone for the season. It's easy to chop and change your captain's armband. If you're a set and forget kind of FPL manager, we've talked about this in the past, just pop it on Salah. The next game is actually a really, I don't know, I say this knowing that it's hard to get excited about either two teams I don't really have much of an investment in, but Aston Villa, Southampton.
Yeah.
I think this will actually be a really exciting fixture because Southampton has some really, really great players. Oriel Romeo, whatever his name is, shooting.
I know.
We watched the highlights in that last game. he's playing really exciting football. Danny Ings is playing exciting football. Shea Adams has gotten off the mark finally this season.
Walker Peters is decent.
Yep. Southampton don't have a great defence. Aston Villa are capable of turning it on as well. So
Grealish and Watkins, they've got to be back with a vengeance, surely. Like, they're dangerous players. Like, Grealish, on his day, like, he's just... There's not that many players as good as him at what he does in the Premier League, and that's big praise.
Yeah, and this is a game where I reckon at the end of the season we'll see both of these teams sitting around the 8th, 9th, 10th mark. So this is a really good clash, because I think they're going to be pretty evenly sided.
Yeah.
But you've got players like Grealish that are capable of taking Aston Villa to that next level. You've got players like Danny Ings that are capable of taking Southampton to the next level. This could be, like we talked about last week with Man United Chelsea, a game with goals, or it could be a nil or draw.
Yeah, I mean, Ings, 8.5 mil. He's kind of somewhere in your medium price band there for a striker, but 41 points. Che Adams, 5.8 mil, 29 points. That's actually really good value.
Yeah, I mean, if you're looking at the return on investment, they're pretty similar.
Yeah.
Because you bank a little bit, you pay a little bit more for him, and as you get up...
Ings,
yeah, we're talking about Ings. Yeah, you pay a little bit more for Ings, you're going to get a little bit more bang for your buck. But Shea Adams,
if you can't afford Ings,
and
you're looking for your third striker or something,
yeah, Shea Adams is a really great choice.
100%.
The other point I should make is that Ollie Watkins, for me, as a player that I have on my team, if I don't transfer him out this week, and we will get to our transfers a little bit later, everyone, just be patient, just relax,
calm down.
Yeah. If I don't transfer him out, either way, I think Watkins is probably going to sit on my bench this week, because I actually like the Southampton defence.
Yeah, fair enough. Watkins, 27 points at 6 mil. Again, not too shabby.
And also, he did score that hat-trick, so it's a little bit skewed towards that one game week he had. Let's move on now to Newcastle, Everton, a cagey
yeah,
affair.
This could be interesting, because Newcastle are kind of bubbling under. I feel like they're a team that, outside of Newcastle fans, people aren't expecting a lot from, but they're kind of almost turned themselves into the plucky underdog.
Yeah.
Whereas Everton, it's now time to pick themselves back up, dust themselves off, and see if they can come back and perform.
My brother's a Newcastle fan, and he talks a lot about players that I don't know, and I don't get excited about, and I can't get excited about them. But the one player that always stands out for me is Saint-Maximin for Newcastle. Didn't show up in the last game week, but I think it's Callum Wilson.
Yes.
And Callum Wilson is at
good
6.5 million for 41 points. A really good differential choice.
That's a very good return for a striker. Other performers for them, Hendrick at 5 mil for 24 points. Again, that's a decent ROI for that price point. Like, it's 5 mil. It's not much money to get 24 points. Saint-Maximin, 5.3, 21 points.
And he's had a couple of games off this season too, so that's a really good return on investment.
Their defence leaves a lot to be desired, but if you are a gambling person and you like to dice with death, you could stick Darlow in goal at 5 mil. Not the cheapest keeper, but 30 points because... Oh man, he's probably had the most saves of any keeper in the league this season.
That doesn't say a lot about Newcastle's defence.
Oh no, it says lots about Newcastle's defence. It says it's shit. Mm. But as I say, like, I'm not necessarily a fan of deliberately inviting a keeper into my team who has to get involved too much. But if you've decided that's your tactic and you're going to get bonus points, sure, give Darlow a go, I suppose.
And if we're talking about this season and this season alone, Dominic Calvert-Lewin is going through a bit of a dry spell. He hasn't scored for a game.
A whole game.
So he's due for a goal.
Yeah. Let's see. Obviously, they're still without Richarlison, right?
And there's the question later, and we'll get to the mailbag for those that have posed questions. There is a question about who should I captain, DCL has been one of those... He's not a premium player. He's actually a really low-cost player. He's one of those players. Do I put the armband on him? There are probably a couple of games where if you had have done so... Well done. Great flute. We'll touch on that a little bit later. But DCL, I dare say, due for a goal.
Do you know what? This is a dark thought for you, and I digress slightly here, massively here. You think the red top newspapers in the UK are desperate to write the headline, DCL tears ACL?
No.
No?
No.
They'd
I think
love
that's
that.
Something that's the other just bounced around your head right now, and you've just said it.
The other one was it from Peep Show, the comedy show, where the guy's like... Can't wait for Theo Walcott to turn 30 so he can sell the headline to the Red Tops. 3-0 Walcott. No?
No.
No, not working for
that's
you?
That's lost on me. I mean, I understand the joke.
You just don't like the joke.
It's just, no, I
don't. Okay, back to FPL. Thanks for that, Scott.
Next one. Boring affair. Man United, Arsenal. Back in the day, yes.
Well, do you know what? We've just had Man United, Chelsea. And now we've got Man United, Arsenal. See, these are teams whose names carry a lot of weight. And we saw 0-0 Man United, Chelsea. And now we've got Man United, Arsenal.
10-0 Man United. I'm calling it as an Arsenal fan. Again, I don't see a lot of attacking threat. And like we talked about earlier, there wasn't a whole heap of creativity coming from Arsenal's midfield. Their attack just didn't look like they were really...
They just seem a bit stale and flat.
Yeah, they didn't have a lot of creativity and there just wasn't a lot of options off the bench. I know you were a fan earlier in the season of Nketiah. He got a run, you know...
And potentially Willian, but that really turned out to be about...
This really
70 good minutes of football.
This sucks for me to say as an Arsenal fan. Oh, I can't, this fan's a strong word. It's a really strong adjective for how I feel about Arsenal right now. But back your Man United fantasy players. If you've got players that sit on your bench, like a Wan-Bissaka or someone like that, just throw them on your field.
Do you know what? I can see
that happening. Captain Wan-Bissaka.
You know what? It's funny you should say it. That was just there in the back of my mind thinking... I bet Wan-Bissaka gets shitloads of points this weekend.
Yeah, and back...
And Rashford.
Back Rashford, yeah.
You're going to pay for the nose for Rashford, but I'm assuming you've probably already got him if you're interested in Rashford. But he's going to get some goals.
Arsenal don't have any Harry Maguires on their team. So I'm not backing Fernandes for a lot of... I don't think there's going to be many pens. The refs seem to have calmed down the pens a little bit for now. But Fernandes obviously is always capable of scoring. He actually had a really, really good quality game last weekend, and he was actually shooting a lot from open play.
Sure.
And I know he's known for his set pieces and his penalties and things like that, but Fernandes is a really strong player. If you've got Fernandes, if you've got Rashford, if you've got Wan-Bissaka or Harry Maguire, if you're an idiot and you've got Harry Maguire, triple captain. They're playing my team.
Yikes. You sound like you've gone into free fall, mate. You're a very sad Arsenal fan. We should move on before you start crying. Tottenham versus Brighton.
I think there's, hopefully we see a little bit more free-flowing football from Tottenham. I know that Burnley really shut that down for them this morning. But I think that Tottenham are capable of playing really free-flowing football. We've seen what Kane and Son can do when they're in their element. And this is a really good opportunity for them to do that because Brighton don't play sit back and cop it.
They don't, but it's still that interesting system that we've talked about before. They kind of do play this attacking football, but they also play three centre-backs. I'm kind of interested to see how that plays against Kane and Son. Can they contain them a bit like Burnley did for large parts of that game?
If you have Son playing on the left wing and you've got Tarek Lamptey for Brighton playing as a right wing back, and he's consistently, like we talked about earlier, in the 18-yard box,
sure,
as close to the 6-yard box as you can possibly get to.
It's
going
to leave Son nice and open.
Son's going to be nice and open, and it's going to be up to those centre backs to shut Son down. But
so what I'm hearing is Captain Son.
Captain Son.
It's hard to look past that.
I know I've chopped and changed between Son and Kane and Son and Kane, and my notes here actually say I'm going to captain Son. We'll talk a little bit about what we're going to do with our teams later, but I think I'm going to chop and change at least three times before we get to that segment.
Of course, so sure.
Hold off on that. Let's just move on to Fulham, West Bromwich Albion.
All I can say is like a stock record. I wonder if Lookman will score. There's nothing more exciting to talk about this game, and as we've also touched on, the common denominator here is West Brom.
Oh yeah, West Brom just bore us to no end, and again apologies to the two West Brom
fans. It's going to become such a feature that we're going to get deep into the season and someone's going to write us a letter in the mailbag and say, what are you two morons talking about? West Brom have been playing some awesome football, and we're just like, oh yeah, maybe we should
sincerely watch it. Kellen Robinson. Fuck off. The one standout player at the start of the season who was everybody's third choice striker was Mitrovic.
He
hasn't scored in a while.
Not for the want of trying. He was giving it a good crack at the weekend.
Yeah, maybe if you were still set in your ways and you were too sort of stubborn to have removed him for any of the other fairly decent 6 million options out there, like your Ollie Watkins and like your Bamfords, and you've still got Mitrovic. Maybe this is his game because, again, he's playing against West Bromwich Albion. This is basically a top-of-the-table clash for the championship.
So the funny thing for me, though, when you've got your third-choice striker, is if your third-choice striker isn't someone that you've got much faith in, you're never going to play him unless you're forced to through injury or because a guy gets injured the day before and the game automatically puts him in off your sub bench.
Yeah, and that's the thing that's the thing that I looked at this game week. That's the reason I played Ollie Watkins, is because I had there was that injury cloud over Rodriguez.
Yeah,
and again, I didn't lose any points there because they both scored two.
Mm-hmm.
But that's another. I don't know. This is deviating from what your point might have been. Wait and see. Wait until you've got 90 minutes before the kickoff of the first game to make any changes. But if you're in Australia like we are, you've got to make that call pretty early because you might fall asleep and you're not going to set your alarm for 2:30 in the morning to wake up to make that change. And if you are, you're a psychopath and well done.
I don't know. It sounds like the sort of thing you do.
I do wake up a lot when these games are being played just because I like to check the scores as I go. But
help me, listeners.
I digress. All I'm saying is save your transfers. Pick your teams as close to the time as you can. If you're like me and you check fantasy regularly to see updates and things like that, what I actually do is I actually pick my team during the game week of the previous week in case I'm in a coma for that entire week and I don't get to do it later on.
I think you have bigger fish to fry, but yeah, fair point. Last game of the game week, the mighty Leeds versus Leicester. Going to be goals, isn't there?
Yeah, this is a really good fixture. This is a really good fixture because we have Jamie Vardy, who didn't play a lot of the game, came on, did everything. We have Bamford, who didn't show up in the first half and then had an absolute cracker of a second half. Both of these teams play really good attacking football.
Do you think we could get our pal Foxy to triple captain Vardy?
Challenge accepted.
Leave
it with me.
I will. But put the house on Vardy. Like, you know, I'm a Leeds fan. They're coming together. It'll be interesting if Liam Cooper's fit at centre-back for Leeds. Otherwise, they'll be doing makeshift Luke Ayling, who had a great game last week at centre-back. It's just not where he plays. Vardy. The safe money's got to be on a Vardy goal. As for Leeds, let's see if Bamford can build on his hat-trick.
Yeah, after seeing Leeds' performance, after seeing Bamford's performance, because truthfully, Bamford was really the player of the moment there.
Mm.
After seeing that performance, I was reluctant to bring Castagne back into my team.
Sure.
I'll talk about it a little bit later, but I will talk about it right now as well. I've brought Castagne back in because I don't want to play Kilman and Sice again. And I only want to play three at the back. So okay. I am going to bring Castagne in, but I don't think I'm bringing him in because I think he's going to get a clean sheet. I'm bringing him in because he's capable of of bringing in the assists.
If you were looking at a Leeds player, by the way, outside of Bamford, right now, click
Barry Douglas.
Will the game let you even bring in a player who's not currently at a club now?
Well, I'm going to triple captain Ozil next week, so.
Oh Christ! Don't say that. Mateus Click.
He's a penalty taker and he actually got an assist on the weekend.
Yeah, he did. Obviously I watched that whole game and he played out of his skin. And that Leeds counter-attack's pretty deadly. So, yeah.
This is not a football podcast. This is a fantasy Premier League podcast. But I also watched Click play for Poland.
Yeah.
He actually played really well.
Yeah, the link-up play with Lewandowski.
Yeah, if you're an absolute football nerd, you'll probably have a lot better of a chance than I would at fantasy. Because you'll see that kind of form for a lot of the players that play for those kind of obscure European teams. Not that Poland's an obscure country. Hi to all the Polish fans out there that we'll have next week. But all I'm saying is that game, those games that Klisch played in and featured in, he was actually playing really, really well.
Here's the parallel. We watched the highlights of that game and the Klisch link-up play with Lewandowski. That was the kind of stuff he was doing with Bamford this past game week. And obviously a lot's been said about Bielsa, but perhaps another guy who's really coming good. So yeah, that's my little tip for you there if you do want to lead the player.
Tip of the week.
Tip of the week. Okay, so shall we move on to the mailbag?
Yeah, the first question is coming from Eden.
And he says, Patrick Bamford had an awesome run in game week 6. Yes, I had noticed. Was it a bit of luck, or is he someone to back at price of 5.9?
Remind me of Patrick Bamford. Who?
Patrick Bamford, guy who speaks 4 languages, plays the violin, also plays professional football for Leeds.
Weird thing to know about a person.
I'm a Leeds fan, dude. Anyway, I almost feel like this is hard for me to answer, so I might pass it over to you.
The reason I'm going to answer this question is because I'm actually wondering the same thing myself. At 5.9, I would say he's an obvious choice. And Eden is, you know, he says he's had a run in, an awesome run in game week 6, but he's actually been consistent. He has 6 goals in 6 games. I know he had a hat-trick, so it's a little bit of a skewed statistic. It's not luck. Bamford is a player. He's not going to finish with 6 goals in 6 games. He's not going to finish this season with 38 goals.
That'd be amazing.
That would be crazy. But he is a player that is going to be the predominant goal scorer for the team that he plays for.
Yep.
And Leeds, as we've talked about, did not come into the Premier League to avoid relegation.
No.
They have come into the Premier League to compete.
Yep.
And they are doing that with a striker who is actually giving them consistent returns, more consistent than Callum Wilson, more consistent than someone like Maupay. And for a team that I think, if you're looking like, if you're looking at a manager like Bielsa, who are going to be here next season.
Well, the big thing actually there with Bielsa is the fact that as soon as he arrived at Leeds, he had earmarked Bamford as someone that he wanted in the team. Bamford's name is the first on the team sheet every single week, and Bielsa's believed in him. And not
that's alphabetical.
No, that'd be Alioski. Or Ayling. Stop it. So my point is that often it's been said, particularly last season, the criticism of Bamford, where he would definitely blow hot and cold, and it was more of a kind of almost 1 in 4, 1 in 5 striker at a point. It felt, and it's easy for me to say this, but it felt like a psychological thing with Bamford, and Bielsa has put so much faith in him, and I feel like it's coming good. Like, Bamford looked so happy post game, which he should when he scored a hat trick.
Yeah,
it looked more than just,
well, he's got a free ball. No, I mean, yeah, he's a great player. I think to answer Ian's question in one word, no, wait.
What?
To answer Ian's question in several words, no, it's not luck. He actually is a quality player.
He is.
So if you're looking to invest 6 mil, he's your third, I'm assuming he's going to be your third striker, or you're not playing that many strikers and you're trying to stack your midfield, he's a striker worth looking at.
And the next question comes from Warren, who part of his question actually also asks, when should I captain Bamford? So we may as well get to that point first.
Last week.
Yeah, that was my first thought. Last week, that's when you should have captained Bamford. But obviously, you know,
I just stole that joke from you, didn't I?
You did, but I've already forgiven you.
Yeah.
Do you know what? That's a tricky question, given that I still feel like Bamford is not the most consistent player, which is a funny thing to say with a guy who's got 6 goals in 6 games. I don't know if I would ever triple captain Bamford. Obviously, hindsight's a beautiful thing, and last weekend would have been an absolutely perfect time to do that.
Did you see the highest score after the first couple of games was around 67, and this bloke that had tripled Captain Bamford. It's almost like he slipped on his mouse, accidentally did it, and couldn't take it back.
Yeah, and he had like Calvert-Lewin on the bench and
stuff. And then he had no regrets. Second question from Warren also says, for the upcoming game week, for the next fixtures, who do I captain this week? Salah, Vardy, or DCL? Now, if you've got those 3 players in your team, that's a really quality team.
Yeah.
Well done on that. I'm not sure if you lucked into DCL like I did at the start of the game week, or if you bought him in when you saw his hot run of form. But yeah, interesting question. What do you think?
I feel like Vardy maybe, and you know, going against my team again. But yeah, I can't help but feel like Jamie Vardy would be a good choice to captain. I mean, I suppose if we look at it from an analytical point of view, I mean, Vardy is playing against Leeds. You've got Dominic Calvert-Lewin, who's going to be, you know, playing against Newcastle. So that's away, but you'd think that's a good shout. Newcastle are very flaky at the back.
I will say this about 2 of those 3 choices, Vardy and DCL, are both playing away from home. I went against that grain this week when I captained Kane. I do try and captain a player that's playing at home, and in that respect, Salah.
That's a big hoodoo with Salah. A lot of people say that, oh, he always performs better at home. I don't know. Maybe he does, maybe he doesn't.
He didn't perform that well at home last weekend.
No, but he is home this week and against
West
actually, Ham.
And he's due, because if Salah's going to be averaging around 200-odd points a season, and he scored two last weekend, he's due for a blowout this weekend.
Think of it in terms of what's likely to happen in a game. Like, for instance, if Vardy gets one goal and you triple captain him, versus if Salah gets a goal and two assists or vice versa, and you triple captain. Like, I kind of look at it that way. Same with Calvert-Lewin. All Calvert-Lewin's really likely to do is score goals, which is fantastic.
At the same time, too, in saying that, Salah is the one player out of those three who plays in a position that differs to where he sits or is classified in within the FPL realm. So he's classified as a midfielder, when we all know he plays much more attacking role.
Okay, conclusion for me. Head says Salah, heart says Vardy. I just got this feeling, and I don't mean like, you know, I'm backing a guy against my own team for my heart, but I just feel like, I don't know, there's something about Vardy playing against that Leeds defence that's just got goals written all over it.
I'm going to choose a totally different organ.
Choose carefully.
My spleen.
Oh, okay.
Says Salah.
Your spleen says Salah.
Yeah.
I'm not even going to ask you why. But, all right, well, it sounds like both of us really are saying Salah. And that feels like a massive fucking cop-out. Because what do they say? If in doubt,
Captain Salah.
There we go.
So what are you doing this week?
Might go to work, might have some food. What about you? Oh, FPL. Sorry.
Yeah.
Well, my first note here, Son or Salah for captain. Lean in towards Son. I bloody love that guy.
Why didn't Warren ask us about Son? Okay, you have to assume he doesn't have them in their team. Warren, just get one of them in your team.
What are you doing, mate? In fact... He sent us his team, I can tell you right now. I mean, obviously he could do transfers. No, he doesn't. He's got Foden, Salah, Rodriguez, Saint-Maximin, and he's got Calvert-Lewin, Vardy, Bamford. He's also got Bissouma from Brighton and Hove Albion on the bench. So no, he does not have Son.
Well, there you go. So you're going to captain Son or Salah?
Yeah, I'm not sure if I'm going to do anything about transfers. I said that last week, actually, and then as soon as we wrapped up recording, the Rodriguez news came out, and I panicked, which I hope I've learnt from now, because it's happened three times. I was all set to not do a transfer, and I did one. I'm still kind of happy where my team's at, to be honest. So, famous last words and all that, and you can mock me next week, but probably going to bank the transfer. Could play my bench boost.
I don't know if you knew this.
Yeah.
This podcast is called the Bench Boost Boys.
I wonder where that came from.
It's because it's one of the chips you can play.
Oh, that makes so much sense.
Yeah. So I'm also tipping. I'm also deciding whether or not to captain Son or Salah. And I know I had Captain Kane last week. I talked about this a little bit earlier. I can't decide between Son and Kane. I'm going to ignore Salah for this week. That's up to Warren. Warren, you captain Salah, and if you win with Salah, that's a win for us.
Can he give some of the points to you? Does it work like that?
No, he doesn't work like that. Okay. He can give me some of the money he wins from his mini league.
Okay, cool.
But for me, it's going to be between Son and Salah. I'm going to decide later on in the week, and I'll probably change it quite a bit between now and then. With respect to transfers, just like yourself, I'm leaning towards banking. I do like Bamford. I really want to bring Bamford into my team. I've got Ollie Watkins sitting there.
Well, I suppose if you were talking about do you do this now or later, it's how much do you back Bamford to score against Leicester, really?
Well, it's also how much do I bank Ollie Watkins to score in his next few games. So I'm going to look at the fixture difficulty rating a little bit later. I'm not going to look at it now. I do want to save my transfers for the end of the week. I don't want to make that same mistake I made with Kilman. Not that it was a mistake, but at the same time, it felt like a mistake when that news about Rodriguez was hitting the airwaves. I didn't like it. It didn't really bode well for me. I'm not going to be playing any chips. I'm not going to play my bench boost, my triple captain, or my free hit this week.
Okay.
I am going to bring Rodriguez back into my starting lineup, so I'm going to drop Ollie Watkins to the bench irrespective, and I'd do that even if I had Bamford, so it might be a good week for me to just keep the faith on Ollie Watkins.
Sure, sure.
And I'm going to play a 3-5-2.
Got it all worked out, haven't you?
I do.
All right, well, that sounds pretty good. Well, I think that just about wraps up another week of Bench Boost Boys. Don't forget, if you would like to send us a message on the mailbag, benchboostboys@gmail.com, benchboostboys across all social media, except, as we learned at the start of the show, TikTok and Snapchat. But yeah, tweet us, Instagram us, Facebook us, whatever. Send some questions.
Yeah, and don't forget to join our private league. That's P2IFBX. I'm not going to do the phonetic alphabet. I do know it. I just don't want to show off this early in the podcast.
Yeah, you'll look like a prick.
Yeah.
All right, yeah, please, yes, join our private league. And benchboostboys.club is the website. And you can now subscribe to this podcast pretty much everywhere. So if you like Spotify or Google Podcasts or Apple Podcasts.
If you're a weirdo that goes onto the internet and clicks on a person's website and then listens to it directly off the website, that's...
You can do that because there's a web player and it looks pretty sexy, as you'll see if you go to benchboostboys.club. But I reckon we'll leave it there.
Yep, let's leave it there.
Goodbye, Scott.
See you next week.